name is Sam Clement, and welcome to this special edition of the Picture House podcast. Today, we are delighted to be joined by director Claire Denny, one of my favourite filmmakers, and a real honour to finally get her on the show. I'm surprised we've not spoken to her before. And I'm equally delighted to be joined by film critic Elena Lazic, a writer I'm a huge fan of, and she's occasionally done a little bit of work for the podcast before. You can hear her on a previous episode talking to Gaspar Noé about his film Climax, and yeah, we're thrilled to have Elena back to talk to Claire Denis. So in a moment, I will pass over to Elena and Claire to talk about Claire's new film, High Life. We're just on first name terms now, that's how we roll. For those of you who don't know, High Life is Claire Denis' first collaboration with Robert Pattinson. It's also her first film totally in the English language, although Elena and Claire do talk about languages in the show and how Claire Denis has actually made a number of films in various different languages, not always French. But yeah, it's quite exciting. She talks about it needing to be in English because it's English is the language that people speak in space, and I think that's a nice comment on the genre and also just, you know, observing the nations who actually prioritize space travel. Alongside Robert Pattinson, there is a really fantastic cast in this film. There's Juliette Binoche, Andre Benjamin, and Mia Goff, and a whole host of other people. It's quite a good cast. The crew of the ship they're a good bunch. They work well together. So just on plot duties, not that like a lot of Claire Denis films, they're quite visceral and there's a lot going on underneath the surface. Plot may not be the main factor here, but I do think this is an interesting setup and it's good context for the interview, if nothing else. We join Robert Pattinson and his fellow crewmates on board a spaceship in deep space, and we learn that they are convicts from Earth who have opted to go onto this deep space mission instead of serving their sentences in a prison cell. Alongside the inmates on this ship, it's very much a prison ship, we have Juliette Binoche, who plays the ship's doctor, a very mysterious ship's doctor who may not entirely be acting professionally, and there's also a captain on board the ship as well. And yeah, definitely as the mission gets further into deep space, things start to get a little bit strange and the doctor's motives become clearer. That's a very loose synopsis, but I think that's probably enough just for the context. And I have to admit, I went into this film not knowing very much about it at all. So I don't want to spoil any revelations or any big moments there. But yeah, it's a good setup for me. It's a, you know, complex crew in a confined space, and we get to sit back and watch everything unfold. It's also very beautifully shot, and as always with Claire Denis films, there is a wonderful soundtrack. So great to see on a big screen and here in a cinema auditorium. So that's more than enough blathering on from me, really. The film is High Life. It's in cinemas right now. And without further ado, I will pass over to Elena and Claire to talk more about the film. Enjoy.
So, High Life isn't your first foray into genre cinema, but it's your first science fiction film. How do you feel about genre cinema, and what does it bring to your work?
I never, except when I did Trouble Every Day, which for me was my answer to a producer who asked me, Claire, I would like you to do a horror movie. And I told him, look, I don't know if I can do a genre movie, but I can try. And I did Trouble Every Day. Since I never done a genre movie, I guess, I always done sort of film I wanted to do. And genre movie, for me, they have a special shape. And maybe I would like to do one, but genre movie, it's a sort of design for big studio, Hollywood studio. They had very expensive movie. And with the leftover of those movie, like sets or actor and use or whatever contract for actors, they could do with a smaller budget movie. quickly done, cheaper, and that what became a genre movie, because in a way it was, it's a very brilliant idea not to invent a psychological drama or comedy, but to invent a sort of sketch of a, in a way, more simple with less psychology, to make it run fast in every terms, you know. Today, if you say, I'm going to do a genre movie, you know damn well there is no studio, so it will cost the price it will cost, you know. It's not a sort of plan B.
Yeah.
And me, in genre movie, I like the plan B aspect. So when I did this film, High Life, it was not a plan B for me. It was a plan A plus. And I was not even sure it was a genre sci-fi. I thought it was a story, sort of love story in space.
I see. The fact that it's in space, I think it's interesting because so many of your films, they show so much of nature and the weather, the elements. They give a texture to your films that's very unique and very recognizable. But obviously, High Life is in space, so there is no weather. How does that change?
There is
approach?
A sort of.
There is this little greenhouse.
It's more than a greenhouse. It's almost a garden.
Mm.
And it grows. And they have those hair booths, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think, yeah, I think you could feel there is a sort of temperature, you know.
But it's an artificial weather. Does that change anything for you?
No, we were shooting inside. We were with the actors. We felt the same, you know. We felt something very similar, you know. We had the same sweat.
I think something that's really interesting, I'm sure people have pointed out already, is that there are loads of similarities between High Life and Beau Travail. They both follow very diverse groups of people who are in an enclosed space that's small, but at the same time, they're in the middle of a big expanse. And they're all forced to stay together and follow rules and train and exercise together. But I think something that's quite different between the two films is that there's such there's a lot of warmth in the relationships between the people and Beau Travail. But in High Life, it feels more aggressive and cold.
For me, there is absolutely no connection between Beau Travail and High Life, because Beau Travail, I made it because of the Foreign Legion, because I've been working a few times in Marseille, and in Marseille there is a famous place. It's the hospital and the rehabilitation center for wounded or tired legionnaires. And I've seen them so many times training on the beach, some of them missing a leg, you know, some of them very depressed. So I think for me, for many young men who had a bad start in life for reason very different, some of them because they come from an extremely poor country or because they're coming from a civil war country, those people are only because they are desperate, you know, or they're out of jail. They come from juvie, for instance. And the Foreign Legion, although it's so strict and hard, give them for the first time in their life, they have a sort of family. Law and order to share. It's not a law that it's only against them to punish them. It's a law that they have to accept together. And in the foreign legend, you're never alone. You have always, you cannot be walking on your own.
Mm.
The minimum is two.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes soldiers, because they are wounded, when they reach, when they are out of the legend, it's hard to go on living, you know?
Mm.
Some of them, they can't stand it. They have lost their family. So now we are speaking of people who are guinea pigs in space because they were in death row. I don't think they have any feeling it's a new family.
Mm.
It's a family that will give them a new chance in life, no.
Mm. And then there's the character of the baby as well, the sort of family that's forced.
No, the baby is opening a new horizon to Monty, because suddenly he realizes he's not only responsible for himself. He could easily kill himself and that's the state of the story after the doctor disappeared.
Mm.
But what happened with the baby? He has suddenly feel he has a sort of responsibility, and suddenly he realized after a while it's love.
I see. And
trust, because the baby has nobody else but him.
I think what's the movie to me is very interesting because it's about the sort of birth of those values in the middle of nothing, in the middle of space.
Nothing is not true.
Almost
the cosmos,
nothing.
No, the cosmos is not almost nothing.
Mm.
We are part of the cosmos. Huh?
Mm.
It's outside the solar system, outside our own atmosphere. But for sure, it's not nothing. It's it's much more. I read once that maybe we know 5-6% of what is made the cosmos.
Mm.
And 95%, which is black matter, we don't know what is it, you know.
Mm.
But it's alive. Maybe it's not nothing.
Yeah. Maybe Monty will find out what's in space.
Monty, I don't know. Monty is a character of a film. He's reached a part called the singularity, which is a sort of place where there is a sort of space and time are equal.
Mm.
But I think the progress in cosmic research are so fast now.
Mm.
When I was in America to do promotion of the film with Robert, one morning in the New York Times, there was this big picture. The first picture ever of a real black hole.
Yeah.
And we were like, my distributor and Robert said, looks like ours. And
really
ours
does,
was invented.
Yeah.
But it means a lot, you know?
Yeah.
There is not nothing.
Yeah. There's too much. And talking about,
it's not too much. We are
is scary.
We oh no.
No.
We
feel small.
We are made of stardust.
Mm.
We are made by that, you know?
Mm.
We exist because of that. I don't know. For me it's great.
But you don't think it's scary that we are so small?
Oh no.
No. It's reassuring?
No, it's grandiose. To be small in such a huge, huge, vast. For me, it's great.
Yeah.
Why, when you say so small, it's as if you wanted absolutely to find a church, to be protected, to find a God.
No.
No, we don't need that. The cosmos is ours.
Mm.
And we are part of it.
I see. You were talking about Robert Pattinson, and obviously he's a big American star. He's been in very.
He's an English star.
English, sorry, my bad.
No, he lives in America, but yeah, Robert is an English guy.
Yeah, yeah. I always forget because he's been in American films, very commercial films aimed at teenagers, and High Life isn't like that. How was it working with him? Like,
oh, when he did film with Cronenberg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's also he's done both things. He's done very very big commercial films and also more art films with big directors. How is it working with him? Like, how does he adapt to what you want from him?
I forgot immediately. I was working with an actor, and he was great. He understood me. He trusted me. And I have to say, I like Twilight very much.
Yeah, it's great.
So
nice
for me. I don't feel. I never watch him in Twilight as a commercial actor. I watch him as a very great young actor.
Mm. That's true.
A fascinating actor.
Yeah.
And when I was watching Cosmopolis, back remember, I was amazed.
I agree. And Juliette Binoche as well, in that film.
Ah. Juliette Binoche is in Cosmopolis, she's only one of the many women.
But she's so good.
Her I mean, she's so good always.
Yeah, that's true.
Not only in Cosmopolis.
No, that's true. How did you work with her in High Life? Did you write the part for her, or did she?
I just finished working with her, Let the Sunshine In. Mm. We were in Cannes when I get that call from Patricia Arquette that she won't be able to be with us September 4. And I start crying in the hotel, and Juliet said, I will do it.
Wow. Mm. I think it works.
Of course it works.
Yeah.
But it would have worked also with Patricia. You know, to filmmaking is to feel the people you're working with, you know.
Mm. Mm. Do you think you'd like to try working with Patricia Arquette again, or does it depend on the character?
I love her.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I think she's one of the... She's one of my favorite actress and women.
Yeah? Mm. So it would be in English again? You don't really... You've done films in loads of languages, right? Because people talk of High Life as your first film all in English, but if you look at your other films, there are people talk loads of different languages.
Yeah.
So is that something that you think about when you're making a film, the language, or do you just all communicate?
This film was not it was English speaking, yes. Mm. And I wanted, so I thought in space, everybody speak English or Russian. Mm. My Russian is zero, so maybe English would be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Something that I think is very interesting in this film is that there are loads of violent moments and people, loads of antagonism between the characters, but it still feels like such a tender film. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that's often in your films. You can see characters doing very aggressive things or shocking things, but it remains. There's always this tenderness somewhere in the film.
Yeah.
How do you work with, like, how do you even write a film that's so full of contrast and still remains tender?
Because I am full of those contrasts, you know.
And also, I was wondering about the soundtrack of the film and of every film. Yeah, how do you work with him to create such distinctive sound? Like, what do you tell him? What does he tell you? How does that work?
I tell him nothing is a monster. No, he read the script.
Right.
He always start reading the script. Mm. And then even if it's in French, I have it translated in English for him. And then he starts thinking about it. And always maybe 99% of what he proposed to me sometime before shooting, sometime at the beginning of editing. It's unexpectedly and surprisingly exactly what the film needed, you know? So sometimes Stuart says, you inspire me, Claire. And I said, but maybe my inspiration are not so far from your own, you know?
Because you have similar things that you like and care about.
We are so different.
Really?
Stuart is a tall English guy from the north of England. Sometimes when I met him, his accent was so strong, I was not understanding a word. And my English French accent was so bad, he was not understanding me. But we understood the film the same way. But we are not, if you take a pair of people in a crowd, you wouldn't say this woman and this guy. Of course not. We are so different.
Wow. And I know that Agnès Godard didn't do the cinematography on this film, but the film has such a distinctive look as well. And especially I love that the spaceship, it's not like a real spaceship. It's like you can see that it's...
It's a real. I copy, number one, a jail, but with the style of a Russian spaceship,
oh, okay.
You know?
And so, yeah, I was wondering how you decided on what it would look like, basically. Or
like a jail. A little faded already after traveling for 5 years with the minimum of comfort,
right?
Like in a jail.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And,
tout à l'heure.
Merci beaucoup. Merci à vous.